We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heapy Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nablus, and with me today is producer and co-founder Brian Goins.
So the intro to our song definitely says jingle all the way if you hum it in your head. Yes,
no,
it does.
Is it Christmas?
It's Christmas
theme?
Day, for sure. We sold it.
Should we get a Christmas-themed Miami Heapy intro? That might be fun. Let's see if we can get on that. We have production value now. We should do that. On the bottom of the screen, if you're watching on our YouTube channel, you can see our statistician at professional photoshopper, Christian Hernandez.
Oh, how we doing? How we doing?
We're doing good. I fixed the lighting in my room. Do you like it? I feel like I got the Vice lights. You know what I mean?
Looks good.
I'm a streamer now. We do this. On the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, you can see Alex Musibai.
What it do, baby? You're getting better at that, by the way. I always see you stumble a little bit right when you get to the Musibai. Gives me flashbacks to like homeroom.
Musibai.
Oh god, it's all. Listen, somebody has their name fucked up all their life.
Oh,
I totally understand.
Yeah. No. It's okay. No, but that's really good. It's Musibai or Musibai. So technically, you're nailing it.
Musibai, brother.
Pero so, Musibai.
You know, here at Miami Heapie, the way we're going to start covering, you know, next year's team aside from free agency and all that, we're moving forward. So we're going to look at kind of what the Heat have at each kind of, because the Heat aren't positional and really the NBA is not positional anymore. But I feel like there are kind of, you know, position types rather. So we're going to go guards, we're going to go wings, and we're going to go bigs. Right, I'm kind of going to go through each of those categories in their own separate shows, and we're going to kind of talk about who should start, who should not start, how we feel about these units, and all that good stuff. And like, and we're going to bring you that coverage, you know, and with other stuff up until training camp, which starts really soon. But first, got to talk about the new uniforms. gentlemen, how do we like them? Now, I'm gonna start with Alex. I'm not the person to ask, I guess, because like I'm grouchy, and like I love the White Vices the most. Those have been my favorites. The White Vices,
really.
Thank you. Honestly, I feel like that's a hot take because I feel
there's nothing like the first.
People love the black ones, and I love the black ones too. Like I'm all about the black vices, but the White Vices, I don't know. I love a clean white uniform. That shit's awesome. I love it. But Sal, they have this vice versa thing, right? And it's like very, I think, Brian, you compared it in one of the group chats to the Trix yogurt.
I didn't
yogurt.
Compare it. I saw somebody else on Twitter post a picture. And I was like, damn, that's really what it reminded me of. I was like, there is something out there in the world that's like, that looks exactly like that color scheme. What could it be? Sure enough, Trix yogurt. So,
I know, Alex, you have strong opinions on this jersey.
Well, look, so the jersey stuff, I'm a huge fan of it. I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell, but like 85% to 90% of my wardrobe is court culture shit. So I'm a massive fan of this stuff. Christian's actually the one that rocks the jerseys more than anybody.
Oh, he does.
But I mean, I obsess over whatever new look they're going to bring out. So I was really looking forward to this year's Vice concept, thinking that it might be the last one, because let's be honest,
they
how
announced
many
it was
more
the last
variations
one.
Can
the
they make?
And final.
Yeah, oh, it is?
Okay, yes, wow. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, expectations were high, go out, you know, with a bang. I feel like I'm in the minority. I don't like it. Brian made a great point. It's something that's going to look really great on the court, on the players. I can't wear that. I'm sorry. That I cannot pull that off. I don't have Tyler Hero swag. It's just not going to happen. It looks – it's too far out for me. Now, with that being said, I was also on the website at midnight and I bought a shit ton of court culture stuff. So,
yo, those court culture shirts,
who am I to judge?
That material's so good. It's so soft.
They're the softest shirt.
God.
It's amazing.
It's
did you get into the triple digits?
I cannot say. But I mean,
you
let's
did.
Be honest. Well, you buy well, one court culture shirt and you already spent like $85. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you gotta help us
bad.
Out on that.
They're as expensive as AOC shirts.
That's why you wait until their Cyber Monday deal the following season, so you get everything like 40% off, like I did.
Yo, Brian's king of sales. Wait, Brian like knows every fucking back room, backdoor sale.
They always
sale.
Have two sales.
Like, I
he
swear
always
God.
Have two sales. One at the end of the season, and they always have one towards the beginning of the season, which end up being basically Cyber Monday this year.
That's true, but the Brian core culture stuff goes quick. Like I like the alternate
well, this
shorts
year actually
and stuff.
Was a lot
like,
different. I felt like a lot of the stuff they had inventory for culture was still there. At least in my size, I'm small, so maybe like the bigger sizes are out of stock.
Yeah, man, us people in the medium
but
slash large
to,
world,
yeah.
You know, we live a different
they
life.
Have,
Brian.
They had everything on sale. Which
are you really a
yeah.
small?
I dropped down from a.
No, you're
well,
not.
I was more of a medium.
Good
I
for you,
to
Brian.
I actually can wear some extra small stuff too, which is crazy.
No, you can't. I don't believe that. That's like Cam Wake extra medium type looking shirts if you're wearing that. Get out of here.
I'll show
you.
Nobody
small.
Can get away with doing that except Cam Wake.
Cam
literally
Wake
the only person.
Or someone of his ridiculous physique. Because
like if Bam wears like a tight shirt, I feel like it's going to rip apart. Like his fucking pecs and biceps. Like he's a huge man. Bam's enormous. Like I don't think people realize that. Like he's fucking huge.
And yet I don't think he could do the medium thing. He's not Cam Wake.
Hassan can like for all the shit we gave Hassan, that dude
Hassan
was...
could rock a schmedium. Yeah, yeah.
When he
Hassan
when he was
also thought schmedium was the actual size.
I'm in on the court, by the way. Like the court design looks fucking awesome.
That,
for the
that,
for the
that
vice
part
person.
Is awesome.
That's the nicest 100%. One.
That part's awesome. I don't know. I mean,
it,
I like. I've liked all the Vice courts. They all look good. I can't complain. I mean, the organization does great. And to be honest, Alex, like, you know, I was talking to a friend and he was like, you know, like my kids will like that, right? Like his kids are going to love the Vice jerseys, like these new ones. That's maybe we're not in the target demo. You know what I mean?
Guilty. I mean, look, I'm...
Because Twitter doesn't like them. Like,
yeah.
Other NBA Twitter doesn't like it either.
Well, they're very polarizing. Like, people either love them or hate them. And, I mean, I guess that's a good thing in itself, you know? Like, it's going to be a big story.
They're not the worst ones.
No.
The powder blue or the, like, the pink ones.
No,
I don't
no,
like
I
those.
Disagree.
Well,
I think these are the worst
talk
ones.
Talk about the Vice ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I think these,
like, out of the Vice ones,
I think these are the worst ones.
Definitely, 100%. I actually love. Wow, I love the pink ones, and I was never able to get one because it was so, like, I feel like they only released those for a little bit, a limited stock, and that was like it.
I don't think they expected people to like it. I'm serious. I mean, they were even scared pitching it to Pat Riley. I read the story on it.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh,
does this stuff get on Pat's desk? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I did not know that Pat was involved in this decision-making process.
It's amazing. I'll tweet it out. I'm pretty sure it was a Zach Lowe story, actually. They have a meeting every single year to discuss the jerseys because that's something that Pat really cares about. And it's gotten to the point because the first Vice jersey, he was like, okay. Then he started getting like kind of like concerned if it's going to work. But by the time they got around to the pink ones, he said, look, just go with it. I trust you guys. They're obviously going to sell. If it was up to Pat, they would wear the red jerseys every single time.
I mean, those jerseys are awesome.
Yeah.
No, the black roads are the best. The black road jersey. That's the only one I own. I'm not a jersey person. I bought in 2005 at NBA City in Orlando. I bought a black road jersey. They did win the 06 championship in the red.
I think that's why Pat is partial to him.
Yeah. I think that they lost the first two games in the black, and then they just did not go back to it that series.
Do you remember how good those 06 jerseys looked? What happened to jerseys in general?
Reebok,
the material.
That was Reebok.
Yeah,
it was Reebok. It was because it's
good
Reebok.
As they used to.
But those things were heavy. I mean, Dwayne Wade would sweat through. I mean, I remember reading it. He would sweat through two of those.
Dwayne, I mean, we've done the show before, but like Dwayne's on our all sweaty team. That dude used to sweat a lot.
Yeah. No, but that's probably part of his advantage. How do you think he was so slippery? It's really hard playing against like really
just
sweaty
weaving,
people.
You know, splitting.
Like,
pick
all of a sudden,
rolls.
You think all of a sudden you just glide off them unexpectedly and
it's
like
the
Holly throws
offense.
You off.
Yeah.
It really helps with the spin boof. All right. So kind of shifting gears here, kind of getting into the nitty gritty. Let's talk guards, shall we? So I guess I don't know if I want to start with Avery Bradley or Tyler Hero, but I guess if we're looking at those two starting guard spots, right, I think everything's pretty much up in the air. And like, I think Jimmy's for sure a starter, and I think Bam for sure is a starter, and I think Mo Harkless is as close to a as for sure starter as can be, just because like,
how do you go
actually
to,
not even because they might even start Myers
Mo Harkless first.
No, I mean, I'm just saying like who are going to be the, like I'm thinking of
we're
like
the
fixtures
options.
Of the starting lineup. No, but you're right, because then they may just go two bigs again and just ditch the small. So like for sure, Jimmy and Bam are the starters. And I think everyone else is a question mark, and that even starts to guard. So like with Tyler Hero, for example, I think a lot of people expected him to make the leap starting. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like he showed a lot of ball handling chops in the bubble, especially in the playoffs. The shooting is obviously there, and, you know, playing off Jimmy and Bam, you know, that's obviously great. Having the second ball handler there is good, and I think it's not illogical to expect him to start, you know, over Kendrick Nunn, who had that last season. I know that I probably like him off the bench more. I kind of like him playing with Goran, and I think Nunn is most useful playing off of the other better guys. And I know we've had this conversation a lot, but Kristen, I'm kind of curious as to where you stand on that.
On what? Sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
On Tyler starting. Go on! Mid-season
on Tyler
four.
Starting? I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of merit to it, especially early on. You've got Goran, who's still, I mean, he's been telling the media that he feels good. You know, they've already had a few intense practices, and he says he's just, you know, he wakes up with a little soreness, nothing crazy. But I've got to imagine that they're going to be slow.
No way Goran starts.
Yeah, I can't. And I don't think they're going to play him a ton of minutes early on. Like if it were up to me, Jimmy and Goran wouldn't play until February, but I know that's not going to happen. But I do hope that they kind of like limit how much they play them. It's going to be a long, quick season, and there's probably going to be a lot of issues with injuries, probably COVID related. I mean, we have to be realistic about this. We're watching the NFL drag its corpse across the finish line right now. Like, you know, it's going to be a complicated season. So I think there's a lot of merit to maybe just putting Tyler in that starting role. We know how Spo is. He does not like to change his rotations. Once he picks his rotations for the season, if he can go without changing them, that would be the best case scenario for him.
He's a tinkerer, though. I disagree with that. I know that he's a little stubborn, but I mean, he does really tinker, and especially in the playoffs, I think he's one of the coaches that's most flexible in changing stuff. I mean, we're not far removed from him in the bubble. You know, they just yanked Kendrick Nunn and they put Gordon in the starting lineup. In the big 3 days, he was always changing. I think that maybe he got a bad reputation for that early on, in particular the Mike Bibby thing, playing Mike Bibby over Chalmers in the 11 finals. But I think that he's been somebody who's been very willing to kind of change that lineup and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree 100% with you when it comes to the regular season. You were talking about the playoffs, and I agree with you completely. The playoffs are a different game. Like the regular season, Spo has always, almost to a fault, valued consistency in his rotations. And so it's going to be really important to see where that falls when the season starts, because I don't see him straying too far from that general structure. Maybe he'll, you know, take one guy out of the bench, put him in the starting lineup, take one guy who wasn't playing, put him onto the bench rotation. Maybe he'll do stuff like that, but I don't see him making big wholesale changes.
Alex, I think the advantage that they have also is, and we talked, Kristen touched a little bit on like how weird the season's going to be and the COVID, and then we don't even know how many like back-to-backs they're going to have, right, to kind of get all this done quickly. But the Heat have probably four guys at guard between Nunn, Hero, Goran, and Avery Bradley. I was like, I'm missing one. That are starter quality guys, right? And if they, you know, if COVID were to befall any of them, I don't think it's too tough. Like Avery Bradley, you know, of course, gives you the point of attack defense, and he's a pretty decent spot up shooter. Can't do much else. You know, you have Kendrick Nunn, who's a good shooter, kind of a good offensive player, has his warts, all that stuff. We know the deal on Tyler and Gordon, all that stuff. And I think that that's going to be like really helpful for them, which is why I think that like having a young guy like Tyler giving him the reins is probably likely, even though I'd rather not. But I think that there's going to be just a lot of like rotation and not a lot of, you know what I mean? Like they're not going to have a lot of consistency at that position, just given the way that the season probably could play out.
Right. And I mean, I totally agree. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit terrified of this season. And I don't mean that as any slight on this Heat team. I'm more so concerned with what to expect with the whole COVID situation. And, you know, I'm going to agree with you in this sense, Yanni. I'm good with Tyler starting. I do think he should be a starting shooting guard. Point guard is a little bit different. I think if he was a starting shooting guard and you were just worrying about offense, this guy can average 20 points right out of the gate. Like, I really think he's that type of scorer. But putting him at point guard from the jump, I still kind of lean towards giving that nudge to Kendrick Nunn and hopefully letting him kind of build up that trade value. Now,
I like that angle.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We all know Kendrick Nunn is the piece that we're going to be using in any trade. You got to give him as many minutes as possible. And to Christian's point, early in the season, too, I'm with you, Christian. I don't want Goran, Jimmy, maybe even Bam for that matter. I don't want them getting heavy minutes until February. I was looking at the calendar today because I was thinking this quick turnaround is just going to be hamstring galore. Like we're going to see so many quick injuries. You guys realize it's been less than 60 days since the last time they played basketball? It was exactly 53 days ago.
Poor Jimmy Butler. And that guy, every game that Jimmy played in the finals counted as three games.
He's on dates with freaking Selena Gomez right now.
Jimmy Butler's killing it.
I think he's doing okay.
Yeah. I saw that Jimmy, once upon a time, went on a date with Shea Mitchell. I'm like, damn, good for you, Jimmy Butler.
Damn.
Yes. Apparently, Jimmy enjoys his milk.
What brand?
No brands.
You know, Alex, like... As far as it's so fucking inside.
It's the stupidest bit.
It's so inside. It's like that is like what Christian and I just did is like as inside Heat Twitter as you could get. And if you don't follow us on Twitter, follow us at MIA Heat. You can follow me at GNavis103, at Brian's at by Brian Goins, Christian at I Can Be Your Hero, all one word. Alex, where can people follow you? I'm still getting used to your Twitter handle.
Alex Musabai.
There you go. So
and
we'll put
Twitter
all that in
handles be two words?
It's one.
just say you. Never mind.
So kind of going back to Alex's point about the point guards, like this team doesn't really operate with a functioning point guard that is like triggering a bunch of pick and roll sets. Like Goran does that, right? Like Goran's a guy that they trust. Like, okay, Goran, we're going to give you the ball. We're going to go north, south. We're going to let you kind of like start triggering sets. Tyler does it some, but it's more secondary. I mean, their offense is through handoffs with Bam, right? That they do all that elbow stuff, all the dribble handoffs to kind of get their offense greased, and Jimmy going north, south, right? So Jimmy as a facilitator, as a point guard. So, like any point guard, like that's why I say like this is not really a positional team. Like I don't even know like the point guard in a traditional sense. Like those responsibilities are kind of dead. And to be honest with you, they have been with the Heat in a long time. Even if you go back to the Big 3 days, and even going to the 06 like title run. I mean, you know, even those guys like Jason Williams and Jason Terry, like it was Dwayne. Like
in the finals run, they took a step back. Ball handling duties went straight to Dwayne.
Those guys were spot up shooters. They would sometimes bring the ball up. Dwayne would come off a pin down and then he'd work, right? Like, so I think this team is going to be, what you got? Oh yeah, Chris has a Dwayne Wade hung up on the wall. Like
I thought we started talking about him. It's perfect.
Dwayne el cafecito. So like, I don't know if, you know, a guard on this team is going to have so much ball handling responsibility. I think they all the guards on the team are pretty competent ball handlers. Maybe Avery Bradley's not the best, but I mean, like they're pretty competent ball handlers, and the bulk of kind of initiating pick and roll sets are going to come from Jimmy. So I think the way you got to look at it for the starters is, do I want Tyler shooting and secondary ball handling? Do I want Avery Bradley's defense? Or do I want, I mean, I don't really think there's an argument for Kendrick Nunn over Tyler Hero, unless you're just going to say like me, I want that scoring off the bench because I feel like we're going to need some of that offense to help. Now, it's tough to have these conversations like very truncated because, you know, the other starters also depend on how much shooting you have on the floor. Is Mo Harkless on the floor? Like all that stuff kind of matters. But like, you know, I think you hope as a Heat fan, and if you're in the front office and you're the coaching staff, and if you're on the players, Tyler takes another leap as a ball handler, as a creator, as a guy who's getting to the rim. Now, I think his free throws went way up in the playoffs, and that showed, and that's really good. And that's going to be like, those are the kinds of improvements that you make. I think as a pull-up shooter, he could improve a little bit. I don't have the numbers. Maybe, Christian, if you can get those. I know that he struggled a lot against drop coverage, and I think that his pull-up numbers weren't as good as you might think, given what a good shooter he is. And the way that they run offense, you know, really would benefit a guy that can pull up, which is why Kendrick Nunn was getting a lot of looks that he liked.
And I am trying to find those stats right now. But yeah, I remember this coming up during the playoff run, and Tyler was not a great jump shooter, especially in the mid-range area when he was picking it up off the dribble. And that's really what he would have needed to really exploit drop coverage more often. And he didn't really show that he could. So that's definitely something that you got to hope that he adds to his game, because you know that he's going to be he's always going to be looking for that mid-range shot. He already showed it last season. He just didn't convert it at a good enough rate. If he can improve his efficiency from that part of the court, that really opens up a lot of parts of his game and should actually help him score at the rim as well.
So like, I don't want him to fall in love with that. And when I talk about pull-up stuff, I mean, even off the handoff, and like, you know, I think that the Heat have really had a lot of diversity in where they set screens for pick and roll guys. So like, you know, Bam can set really low screens, but he can go really, really high up. Right. And I think that that's a dimension to the offense that really helps, because if you kind of set the screen up maybe a foot or two higher, when you come off that screen and if a big is dropping, now you have a cushion to shoot a three. You're not really shooting for that long too. Okay, and Miami does a lot of that.
He shot 39% in the regular season when shooting off the dribble, 0.88 points per play, which is a little bit below, like, it's 46th percentile. So, you know, pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, and that also counts mid-range, by the way, so people don't think it's just three-point shooting like that. You know, you want to kind of get, you know, as good as a shooter as he is, and given the amount of space that he can create, given the shot gravity and all that and the way bigs drop, I think that you want to be around 0.9, almost a point per possession, especially with the volume of threes that he takes. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of the thing that you look at. And I mean, remember, he's a first year player and he's very young. Like this is not to criticize him, right? That's he's so good considering how young he is. So like the next evolution of his game, I think people oftentimes look to how people can add to their bag coming off their rookie season, but I mean, he just has so much in it that there's a lot to refine.
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, in the playoffs, Tyler Hero was in the seventh percentile when it came to efficiency when creating out of the pick and roll. And that includes, you know, him passing the ball off and that player taking a shot attempt. And being in the top third of the league in creation out of the pick and roll is obviously a direct gateway to being an impact player in this league. And then you add the fact that he was over the 50th percentile in both spot ups and handoffs. Like those are, that's going to be huge for him always. If he can spread the floor, even if he doesn't end up being the main ball handler, he's going to be incredibly useful, especially with the energy that he plays with.
I thought something they unlocked in the playoffs that they didn't do as much in the regular season is when they, you know, when they get into their pistol action and Jimmy Butler is screening on the low left side, right? Jimmy as a roller with the shooting threats of Duncan and Tyler, you know, if Tyler's going to get even better as a ball handler, right? So when Jimmy's kind of picking his guy off at the bottom there and then going to the rim, now all of a sudden you have all this movement. And then what's curling up top is not over, it's not only a threat to shoot, it's a threat to get to the basket. It's a threat to get fouled. And obviously the passing is what's going to come next to him. And that's going to be probably the hardest thing for him because of his size. And it's just, it's going to be tough. But I mean, with this shooting and his really tight handle, he's going to be able to create so much space. And I have no doubt that that stuff's going to come. It's going to be really, really fun to watch.
I totally absolutely
agree. Like it's so, yeah,
I think your dog,
like,
the dog agrees really, also.
Melody's a big fan.
Brian?
She's like, hell, your dog, yeah.
Your dog's in on the Tyler Hero experience. Brian, what were you saying?
I was just saying that dog agrees too, but also, did you guys listen to like Hero talk about like himself in terms of like him wanting to start and what he sees himself projected wise going forward, like his career? Because like
I saw a little bit of the JJ podcast. He was really, that was on like, the Reddit podcast.
More introspective about like his development, and something I learned from that pod especially is like how quickly he picks up on learning new skills compared to most NBA players.
Dude, look at his improvement from before the bubble and then during the bubble. And even in that, I remember, Brian, do you remember the shows we were doing when the first couple games they had him doing a lot of on-ball reps and we're like, oh, wow, I do not like the way this looks. Do you yes. remember that? How quickly that turned?
I know. I mean, honestly, that's one of the things that he was talking about. It's like he wants to be more of a playmaker on this team on top of obviously adding more repertoire, like more things into his offensive game. I mean, one of the things he was talking about, like he still kind of wants to do is some things that Duncan's really good at because he's more of a spot up shooter and Duncan's more of that, you know, pin down, run off the screen and then, you know, dribble handoff action. So he wants to do more of that. But the thing that
I think that that's well, where he's
the
best
thing
used.
That Tyler's really good at is him in the pick and roll. And that's something we saw a lot out of the bubble. And then from then on in the playoffs, that's where he basically contributes to a lot of Miami's offense and just initiating a lot of those sets. And it seems like what Tyler was saying and what JJ Redick was saying is like a lot of the coaches or trainers that he's had, and he's had a trainer since high school, apparently. I didn't even notice, but he had a trainer since high school, like since junior year. Anything he learns, he can pick up within like three or four like repetitions, and he can almost like master it. Yeah, and he can almost master it right then and there. So like that clip we saw recently on IG of him doing like that Chris Paul spin behind the back move, he learned mm-hmm. that like that day, and then they actually like filmed him doing it.
Yeah, it's a spin move right into a fadeaway. It's basically an unblockable shot. Like it's something yeah. Chris Paul's been doing for years.
Or like him learning another thing that we're talking about in the pod was like him learning how to shoot more. Like instead of he had to change his mechanics. Apparently, the shooting coach from Miami told him that he needs to like learn how to shoot on the way up rather on the way down. Because obviously, like his short arms and everything, like he can get blocked by a lot of these guys. And that was something he was able to like learn and master in his rookie year, which JJ Redick said he didn't learn to do until like now.
The best part.
I love how JJ Redick is interviewing the Heat shooters a lot. It sounds like JJ Redick wants some culture in his life.
Well, I was going to say that there's two things from that interview that I love. First of all, I'm the biggest Tyler Hero fan in the world. And Christian will tell you, but like that's my guy, Drip. I'm never going to get rid of him. I love him. Tyler, if you're listening,
trade him for Belly
Bill. I will
I was
not
say,
give him.
How are you gonna feel? How are you gonna feel being a Wizards fan in a couple
well,
months?
Well, you know what? I'm expecting it. And
DC baby, let's go.
But what I was gonna say was my two favorite things were JJ Redick starting off the podcast saying like, "Man, we haven't talked Miami Heat in like 2 weeks. Like, what's going on here?" Like, he is so into Heat culture. We'll be seeing him soon. I feel it.
He's a dookie. Like, oh, we know that he's free agent, by the way. Obsessed with
About the Heat. And especially this last, like, playoff run. Like, he fell in love with our squad.
Honestly, like, it might just be overkill, but having the three, Duncan, JJ, and I'm not even joking, like, with Duncan's extension coming up and everything, and, like, if these guys, like, if Tyler and Duncan love JJ like that, and if he can bring them in to even just mentor, I think that might help keep those guys. Not that they'd leave anyway, but it might kind of help smooth over the cap numbers, if you know what I mean?
100%.
Did you see in that interview when JJ Redick was talking to Tyler? He's like, how do you feel when guys go at you on defense every possession down the stretch? And then, you know, Tyler, you know, oh, it's because we're white and we have short arms. And I'm thinking, I don't know. It's because you guys are kind of bad at defense. And then JJ's like, you know, I get a stop, you know, 4 out of 5 times. And then they'd go at me a 6th time. I was like, well, yeah, because, like, why the fuck not? You're not going to get a 7th stop. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that, like what, Tyler taking offense at LeBron rather go at him than Jay Crowder? I don't understand.
Well, I got a little something for you guys to look out for. I can't tell you how I know this, but Tyler Hero yesterday was recording on the Knuckleheads podcast, so be on the lookout for that too. He's been busy this week.
Is that the Quentin one
Richardson
with
one.
Yeah. Yo, Q is one of my favorite Heat players.
We know.
Yeah, I know. I say that all the time. I'm a fucking Q Ritz Lifer. I love it. I'm changing my name right now on Zoom to Q Ritz Lifer.
Green name. No, but just speaking to, like, the general improvement that we've been talking about with him, I was just looking at his playoff splits, and he actually, and oh, wait, hold on. Oh, this wasn't in order. Damn it. Bummer. I mean, the nice thing that was nice to see, though, is that from the start of the regular season, obviously, to the point that the season was postponed, to picking it up again in August for the regular season, it was consistent growth for Tyler when it came to field goal percentage, when it came to assists, and when it came actually to assist to turnover percentage as well. So he's improving his efficiency. He's improving his creation with his teammates, and he's doing it more efficiently without turning the ball over as much. Like, again, he's still 20 right now, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Like, that's crazy to think about. So it's going to be really exciting to see where he takes his game this season.
Tyler Hero is younger than the game Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Oof.
That's crazy.
Wait, what?
Tyler Hero, Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Melee
for the Nintendo
also
GameCube.
Is the sequel. It's not the original.
Yeah, no. That's not Smash 64. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube, arguably the greatest video game ever made. Sorry, fam. Is older than Tyler Hero by a couple months.
That's a pretty good nugget, Gianni. That surprised me.
You want to feel even older?
Because there's this whole movement right now. It's like hashtag save Melee, because, like, you know, I'm a competitive Melee player and I stream it on my Twitch account, twitch.tv/cnows103. You can check me out. I'm grinding my Roy on Unranked. And, you know, there's been a movement lately because Nintendo's really trying to stick it to the competitive scene, even though we're grassroots. For 20 years grassroots, we didn't need any developer support. So that's been, you know, everybody's talking about our 20-year-old game and all that. So what are you going to say, Alex?
I was going to say, you want to feel even older? On that same podcast with JJ Redick, they do, like, this movie draft thing at the end, which is always great. Mm. But I was cracking up because the concept or the topic was, like, characters from Miami. And the only character that Tyler Hero could name was Mike Lowry from Bad Boys. Every other character,
honestly,
every other character they talked about, something
either.
About Mary, Scarface. He was like, I've never heard of these movies.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Scarface, but I know Scarface. But, like, I can't think of many movies that I'm 28. That might speak more to my movie.
Yeah, I think that's more of a personal
like
thing.
My movie library.
They picked Dexter as JJ Wright.
Yeah,
picked
no,
Dexter.
It was terrible.
That was a terrible
it was
pick.
Terrible.
Dexter was in Miami. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw it. The more I know. Okay, so kind of looking.
This became a Tyler Hero
just got
podcast,
all the Twitch verifications. no, because Christian just sent me a I guess Christian sent me a text half hour ago because we were trying to stream this and log on to our Twitch account, but my 2 verification code wasn't working, and I just got a text from Chris which pushed through all the other texts for my Twitch verifications. So
the text just came in.
This has been like half
crazy.
An hour later. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, and with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore, Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short-term list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try it with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you might not be at the game this year, but you will be on in the action with Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure that you get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you the most options to wager than anyone else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head over to BetOnline today and take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Perfect segue to talking about the newest Heat edition, Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley is an interesting one to me because their biggest thing last season, their biggest weakness was their defense at the point of attack. The defense with point guards, with guards in general. And the way that the Heat played for most of the regular season was with Myers Leonard and Bam Adebayo starting with Kendrick Nunn as their point guard. So when they put Myers and Nunn in a pick and roll, that there's so much stress on both on Myers, who is, I don't think Myers is a bad drop big. I think he's mostly okay. He's not, you know, going to win any awards. I think he's fine positionally. He's long. You know, he's great communicator. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, he gets a little too much shit for his defense, especially in drop. I mean, in switches is different, but in drop, I think he's mostly fine. Kendrick and Goran were just turnstiles. And it's not really Goran's fault at this point. He's old. Kendrick, my guy, you got to get better going around screens. Regardless, that was one of the biggest weaknesses of their defense, and they were routinely torched by Charlotte, by the Knicks, by Spencer Dinwiddie, by whoever the hell was handling the ball. Man, on the
Spencer
other team.
Spencer Dinwiddie, that was an infuriating game.
It's just everybody. I mean, the Knicks-Nets back-to-back, where they lost both, was just... And then the last game against Charlotte, Devontae Graham is just fucking do whatever they want to them. This was really before they really started doing all the switching, you know, the hard showing up. Like, they really did a lot more in the playoffs. But during the regular season, you can't play that absurd style of defense. So I think we're going to see our fair share of drop stuff. And if you're dropping your bigs, right? So if there's a pick and roll and the big who comes to screen, his man is going to drop under to keep the ball handler kind of corralled in an area while the guard recovers off the screen. But when a guy like Kendrick Nunn is completely obliterated on the screen, or Goran, you know, then it's just a one-on-one with Myers or Kelly Olynyk and a fast guard, because this league is littered with fast guards. And that would often happen is that they would get beat, and then Jimmy and Bam or somebody has to help, and the defense is all a whack, and that's partly why the Heat were bleeding threes from the corners. They were giving up a lot of threes from corners because that's where the help's coming from, right? You got to help off the shooters because you don't want to let any of that at the rim. Avery Bradley fixes a lot of that. Great guy on ball, is really great at getting over screens, avoiding screens. It's just getting your jersey type of defender. Can't do much else. But he's really good at the one thing the Heat were not good at. And I could see a world in which he's playing significant minutes, and I think that he can even be closing depending on how he's playing. And I think that's something that Spo does. Whoever's playing well at the time is going to close. I think that he's been pretty, other than Jimmy and Bam, I think, and everybody else is fair game, right? And not even Duncan is guaranteed to close at this point. So, You know, when you look at that, totally I think agree. That he's a guy that's really going to help them. I think he's also a guy that can switch, right? So when they do go into more switchy schemes, he's good for that as well. I think that he's going to help them a lot. And I think for the grind of the regular season, it's just really good to have a veteran, competent guy who can play defense like that. It's just going to help. It's going to help the young guys. I love the addition, Alex. And like, I think that, I don't know if he starts. Initially, I thought he might start. I don't know if that's how they're going to go, but I think he'll probably even get more minutes than Kendrick Nunn at times.
Could you start him with Hero and Duncan as your 1, 2, and 3 and then put Jimmy at the 4? Because I've seen that.
No, I think that Jimmy's
a lot of Tyler. I've seen that.
I think that's asking a lot of Jimmy in a shortened season to ask him to guard 4s. I mean, that's just not conducive to the sprint that's going to be this regular season.
Duncan or Hero.
And carry one of the playmaking, too.
I think that if that's the case, Brian, then it might be Duncan's not starting, right? And it might be Jimmy and then Bam / Myers / Markless.
Damn, I don't know if I like the spacing list for Myers.
Like, and I don't really, Duncan's not a guard, right? And we were talking about that. Like, is Duncan a guard? Like, I think Duncan, what is Duncan 6'8? 6'6?
You cannot classify. I mean, these days, when you're talking about player positions, it's way more important for defense than it is for offense because offense has become 100% positionless. So when you're talking about a guard, you're talking about who is going to defend a guard. Like, you could theoretically, if you wanted to, for the sake of an argument, you could slot LeBron James as a guard because he can guard a guard. But you cannot put Duncan Robinson on a guard.
No.
So that's why you have to classify him as a wing.
He's guarding. Yeah, he's guarding other wings. But they'll probably play him on offense at the 2 a lot.
Yes, correct.
They can do that. So they can start, you know, Tyler, Duncan, Jimmy, Bam, / Meyer, / Mo Harkless. But would it really be a guard? And if that's the case, and I think that's probably the most likely starting lineup, I think. I think that Avery gets left out of that, Brian. But I think playing Jimmy, having Jimmy defend 4s, I think is going to be tough. Because, like, you know, it's a lot of Kevin Durant's and there's a lot of, even having him guard Jason Tatum and, you know, Pascal Siakam. And like, there's a lot in the conference.
Well, then I guess the question is, what's the 2-man? Because there's always going to be a 2-man guard lineup off the bench. Because you're starting Hero or none.
Plus.
And then you would have to see heavy minutes definitely with Goran. So who are you teaming Goran up with?
I think
Bradley's going
to
play.
Because I don't think there's any next to Goran.
Yeah, he does. And they brought him to play. Like, they're not going to bring him to not to play. I think that Nunn might be on the outside looking in on the rotation. Especially if he does not start. I think if Tyler's starting, that's fucking big trouble for Kendrick Nunn's minutes, because then all of a sudden Goran's your 6-man, you're bringing Avery Bradley with him, and then, you know, where are you finding minutes for a guy like him? Now, I don't remember how often they went 3 guards. I don't have the data in front of me. I don't really think this is a team that can go 3 guards.
They did it a little bit in the playoffs and it didn't go that well.
That was out of necessity because they had all the injuries. Yeah. So like this, and that's a Spo favorite. I think it's a little different, you know, when you have differently on when you have kind of better defenders.
You're going to burn, like, this team out guards. If you're
any,
running 3
any
guard
combination
lineups
of
in the
Miami
regular
guards,
season.
They're just going to get obliterated on defense.
But if you include Bradley in the mix, exactly. Then maybe it could make sense.
Yeah, but Bradley's
and then
the
you
one.
Would have to
then
have,
you,
what?
So Bradley's guarding
and then
up.
You would have to have... You have to have Bam in those lineups for sure.
I think something that Miami lost in Jay Crowder that we're going to talk about later is the ability to guard up in weight and position and in size. And I think Miami doesn't have a lot of that right now. Especially they have small guards. They have small guards. They have, free hashtag free KZ.
No, it's going to be free nothing. He's going to be KZ in the rotation because I think he is going to be the body replacement for Jay Crowder when they use him like that.
They don't have guards that can do that, though, right? So if we're looking at the guards right now, like, they don't, like, to do that 3-man stuff, I think maybe Avery can do it a little bit. But then, you know, the reason why you brought him here was not to guard, you know, 3s and wings, right? You brought him here to defend point guards, right? So I think as cool as a 3-guard lineup may sound, I don't know if they have the juice on defense to survive. Because then at that point, you're also playing Jimmy at the 4, right? If Jimmy's in those lineups, which then again, you're really not that Jimmy can't do it, but I mean, that's, you don't want to kill Jimmy. You got to save him for the playoffs. this team needs to survive. They have a lot of veterans and a lot of young players. It's a very weird mix. There's not a lot of in-betweens. You know, you have Jimmy and Goran really toward like the back half of their career. They don't really have a lot of guys like maybe Jimmy's at the back end of his prime. I don't even know what to call Jimmy. I mean, he's played the best basketball of his career last season. Yeah. So maybe actually, off about
something that I'm not sure if we brought up when we talked about Avery is that I could actually see him being the one that gets slotted into kind of like that Jay Crowder high minutes role, at least in the regular season, just because he opted out of the bubble. He's one of the guys who has had what now, like 10 months off. Like if there's anybody who's going to be a great candidate to run 35 minutes for just whatever reason Spo wants, it's probably going to be Avery Bradley, and it's probably going to make him feel better because having a good point of attack defender out there for that long is going to make things a lot more difficult on opposing teams, especially compared to what they were used to last season.
So 36% shooter last season, 36% for his career. I stress this a lot. Miami's really good at getting the most out of their shooters. And a big reason why I think that is in LA, Avery Bradley was a spot-up shooter. LeBron's operating in pick and roll. Him and AD, they're operating on their own, and they're going to get the swing passes. Miami runs offense a lot different. Miami runs a motion-based offense. And honestly, if you look at the big three numbers, guys were not having career shooting years here. Maybe the elite guys like Shane and Ray, but for the most part, the other guys weren't really having their best shooting seasons ever. And if you look at the numbers, that'll bear out. But recently, Eric's gone to a more motion-based offense. It's a lot of off-ball screening. It's a lot of motion. And even if you're not like Duncan that you're always moving, you're always involved, whether you're screening for the pin down, whether you're screening for the horn sets, whether you're in the dribble handoff or not. And I think that motion really helps get guys in rhythm, because when you're just standing on the wing or in the corner waiting for a shot, you know, you get cold. And not everybody can be PJ Tucker or Shane Battier or Ray Allen or these kinds of like really special shooters. I mean, I think getting Avery involved, getting him moving, getting him, you know, when you get to touch the ball a lot and when you're involved in plays and when you're moving, and Miami doesn't have like the super ball dominant person anyway. They don't have a Westbrook or a Harden or a LeBron, right? It's a very, everybody really gets to be involved in the offense. And I genuinely really believe that that's going to help guys shooting. So I wouldn't be surprised if Avery gets that 36 to 38. And that makes a huge difference, especially a guy that's strong, that's going to be screening for other really good fucking shooters that they're scared of, right? So if Duncan's coming off that screen, if they go a guard on the pin down to screen for Duncan, or if they're like having the guard screen for the pistol set instead of Jimmy, right? No, now teams have to make a lot of decisions, and Avery's going to get a lot better looks. And I really like that for him. And I think that he's going to surprise some people with the percentage and the volume in which he'll shoot.
I think so. Like, I think this is going to be a great test case for exactly somebody what gets the injured. Heat have been doing. If you want to call it Heat culture, you know, it's what the Heat have been doing really ever since LeBron left, is finding these guys that either, you know, went undrafted, were casted aside. You know, they bring them in, they put them through the grinder, they get them with whatever shooting coaches they have that have been doing some incredible work lately, and they get the most out of these guys. So, like, especially somebody that's really just been kind of overlooked, you know, in terms of who they added this offseason. I know there weren't many, but I think Avery Bradley might end up being a bigger impact player than a lot of people think.
I wouldn't be surprised if he starts also. Like, I think that's the other wild card here. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Spo says, fuck it, we're going Avery Bradley plus who other guard, and that's our starter. I want this. I want him. I want him defending. I want him out there. I want him helping. I want, you know, like, that does not surprise me.
Could you see him closing?
Because the bench has a lot of veteran leadership already. Starting. I can see him. I can see him both, and they have, like, I think with between Goran and KO, right, and Andre, they have a lot of veterans coming off the bench to really help stabilize, right? Like, I don't know if they need him for that. I think in the starting lineup, it's a little younger, and I think he'll help. They obviously, you have Jimmy there, and Bam's, you know, as young as Bam is, I mean, he's a vet. He's an old soul.
Yeah. Do we think that Gabe Vincent has any chance to crack the rotation?
Probably not.
I mean, because of COVID. Because of COVID, they're going to need everybody that they can have. And if Gabe Vincent is ready, then so be it. And like I said, their motion offense is going to make it easy for a guy like him to step in and at least contribute on offense. I don't know about defensively. But I think that this is going to be a really weird, like, we don't know. right? So I was listening to House of Strauss. Ethan had Amin El-Hassan on. I thought it was interesting. Amin was talking about how, you know, people assumed that just because the NBA is operating this season, that it's going to come with fewer hiccups than the NFL, who's, you know, upside down with their COVID cases, right? And, you know, I think largely, I think we all agree with that, that the NBA is just a more careful, better run organization than the NFL, right? And especially with matters like this, like COVID, right? I think we trust Adam Silver a lot more than we trust Adam Gase. And I think we just trust the NBA in general.
Did you say Adam Gase and not Roger Goodell?
Could you go any more polar opposites? I mean, come on.
Did you just say Adam Gase?
I said Adam Silver. Did I say Adam Gase?
No, you said Adam Gase.
You
said,
oh, did I?
You compared Adam you Silver we to trust Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. My bad.
You went polar, like total polar.
Wow, I also love the idea that Adam Gase is in charge of the NFL's COVID response, because it makes a lot of sense.
It would be fantastic. Yeah.
Adam Goodell.
No, Roger Goodell.
Adam Goodell. What's going on with me? This is bad.
Please.
Amin is talking about all this, right? And he's also, you know, and then he's also saying, you know, the Ravens, you know, were hit with this giant outbreak. Do you guys know who patient zero of that outbreak was?
Wasn't it Lamar Jackson?
No, it was before that.
Who was it?
It was a staffer.
Of course it was.
Staffer on the organization.
Of course it
right?
was.
Right? And I think that you can't control everybody. And if one motherfucker in your office gets it...
Yo, I'm nervous because I've been seeing some of these promotional materials, right? Like the heater putting out. And I'm seeing Pat Riley, like, watching these practices. I'm like, Pat, what are you doing?
The safest place to be, I think, is with the players.
In front of COVID to save Pat.
I think with Pat, the safest place to be is with the players. I think that they're taking care of
themselves. The safest place for him is to stay in his Malibu home.
I mean, yeah, for real.
Well, that's a stay-at-home order in California. So
I was going to say, if Riley gets COVID, I feel bad for COVID.
It's going to take a massive out.
You better drop the rings on that.
Yeah, man, you know his immune system is going to kick the shit out of that virus.
Yep.
It's tough, and I think, like, this season is going to be really weird for a lot of reasons, and I think that, you know, not even the playing in empty gyms and all that, it's going to be, like, there's going to be a day that we wake up and, you know, somebody that's important is, hey, I'm positive for COVID. And listen, they're not going to be available for a game that matters or a road trip
that
matters.
Not just a game. It's going to be
this,
like,
is not the bubble situation.
They're going to be. This is not the. Remember, you know, I remember when we started the bubble, and it was like, I think some of us even thought there's going to be cases and we have to be okay with that. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
This is, like, legit, though. Oh, no, there's going to be cases.
I was a major egg on my face. I thought it was going to blow up in their faces.
Oh, we all did, too. We hear this is a bad idea.
I was like, you think all these, like, millionaire, multimillionaire NBA players that are used to doing whatever the hell they want are going to just chill in a bubble and drink, like, Miller Lite and stuff like that? Like, you really think that's what's going to happen?
Jimmy did.
I mean, just, Michelob. I believe it's Michelob.
Oh, that's
Michelob.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, I was blown away. So it's like, I mean, who am I to criticize what they're planning to do?
It's different now. It's different. And it's not even, and I'm not even putting it on the players. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to, trainers, you know, staff. You know, you don't know.
G makes a great point because, like you at don't, the bubble, you know, they limited the amount of people they could bring to the bubble on those teams.
I know.
They had to, like, make a serious, Christian, like, they had to cut a lot of people that normally would be at these games who just couldn't go in the heat.
Everyone has to go to the grocery store. Everybody
LeBron's
has
like trainers
to
I don't think couldn't
places.
Go for a while.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know where these people have been. And, like, I think, it's, again, I don't think it's anybody's fault if you get the virus. Sometimes you get the virus doing nothing. Sometimes you get the virus going to the fucking grocery store. Sometimes you get the virus putting gas because you didn't, you know what I mean?
And, like, that's also why it's like people that feel 100% confident that they know who they got the virus from. Like, unless you're, like, living with someone and you're exposed to them for, like, 6 to 8 hours a day. Like, I think it's kind of ridiculous to make that assumption just because someone you may have come across had it. You could have bumped by somebody at the supermarket, like you were saying, and you got it from them. Like, the odds are small, but you never freaking
know. Just touch the wrong door handle and you got the Rona. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
And they say, like, you know, you wear the mask and there's, like, you know, a 98% chance that you don't get it. I mean, there's a 2% that you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And that's what nobody talks about is the 2% that don't. I mean,
and that's fine. And that doesn't make it, like, your fault or anything. It's just a reality that we're going to have to live within the NBA for this season. I mean, all the other leagues have got to go through it, right? And this is not an outside league, right? This is not, you know, the EPL, which has largely been pretty okay with it.
Which, by the way, did we talk about how the Heat announced that at least to start the season, there's going to be no fans?
Yeah.
Good. No,
was there any assumption otherwise?
I mean, I was honestly curious because, you know, they're still charging season ticket holders and they haven't really said anything. But
the South Florida numbers are just fucking abominable.
No, it's a terrible idea.
Abominable.
Like, unless there's an amazing plan and it's super limited the amount of people go, like, it's indoors. That's why basketball, like, the EPL is all outside. Like, that's...
Would you go? No, but the EPL doesn't have fans. I'm saying, like, the players, like, you know... Barely have not.
Oh, they
really
don't have fans. Oh, I thought maybe they had fans already. Oh, okay.
Well, no.
Even outside, they're not doing fans. Like,
no, how many people have fans are like, you know, just football right now?
The NFL, yeah.
I mean, at the same time, this is America, so you never know.
But I mean, I'm sure that the goal is to have fans at the end of the season.
By then, maybe the vaccine will be out more
in
to
a
the
limited
public.
Capacity. I mean,
well, I think that's why they left it open ended, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I read that the Orlando Magic are going to have limited capacity fans for the regular season opener.
Rest in peace.
And see, like, that to me, that's insane. And that's like, you know, you're putting your players at risk too. Like, now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, Christian, you know more about air conditioning. How dangerous is that air circulation?
I mean, that's what's getting everybody sick, is everybody being in bars and restaurants and it not being there. You need to have fresh air going through the space so that the air actually circulates. Like, what an air conditioning system does is it just pushes the same air through different rooms and it cools it, which is nice. And it removes the humidity, which is nice. But it's the same fucking air unless you have really good filtration or like a UV light. You know, UV light that can, you know, deactivate the particles in the air when it comes to viruses, mold, you know, other pollutants and stuff like that. So
listen, Heatbeat has you
Pat Riley, are you hearing
air
this?
Christian is a Pat Riley of air conditioning information.
I mean, if you need UV lights, you know, go to www.refercenter.com. Net. Oh my god, I said the website wrong, Gianni. I need you to fix it.
Oh. Oh, rewind.
Write that down, Brian.
Christian walks into a room and just drops air filters on the table like Pat Riley does with the rings.
I don't want people going to the website just because we only are supposed to. We sell to contractors. So it's like, go find a contractor and have them install a UV light and hopefully we get the sale.
So, like, you know, the season, the guard depth for them is going to be important. It's a weird season and like. All this to say, yes, Gabe Vincent might crack the rotation. Yes, he might. He just might.
Well, okay, what were we actually talking about?
Gabe Vincent cracking the rotation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's how, yeah. So all this to answer your question. Yes, Gabe Vincent might crack the rotation.
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, a little more spacing out there, especially since you don't want guys like Duncan and Tyler playing huge. You don't want anybody playing huge minutes. So, yeah, you got to be flexible with the roster. I like it.
The next thing we got to talk about, next order of business, we've already talked a little bit about him. It's Kendrick Nunn. And Kendrick's a weird case because Kendrick was first team all rookie, second leading vote getter for rookie of the year. And he might be the most unpopular good young player that a fan base has. He's polarizing. He's weird. Fans are sick of him already. The most popular trade machine option for the entire offseason was Kendrick Nunn plus Kelly Olynyk plus number 20. That was it. That was what we had. It was like, can that get you Oladipo? Can that get you this? Can that get you that? Like, that was the package. That was everything in the trade machine was KO plus Nunn plus 20. I think that playing him is important for what Alex said at the top. You got to get his value up. I think that, you know, he does some stuff well. He's a good pull-up shooter. I think he's quick. I think he can get to the rim. I think that his passing improved a lot. And I know that at some point during this podcast, we called him the Hassan Whiteside of guards. And he really changed that narrative.
That's kind of mean.
It's also very funny.
It's really funny, but I think it's unfair. Like, he's not. Do you remember how bad they used to be? And honestly, and this is also giving Hassan a little bit of credit that he got better at it as time in Miami went. But I think by the time, by his last season,
could you get any worse?
Wasn't he averaging like almost 2 assists a game or something like
that? No way. It was never that high.
No, I think
I'm going to check. I'm going to check. I'm looking now. It might have been like 0.7.
No, I think he got to like 1.5 or something like that.
No way. No way he got above one.
I don't think he ever cracked one.
Hold on. Wait a second. Wait a second.
Dude, 1.2.
That's last season. Career high in Miami. His career high was.
He got to one.
He got to one.
I feel like he had a few months where he averaged like 1.5. And I remember it was noteworthy.
Do you remember that whenever Hassan would make like an assist, we would all like yell assist on the timeline in unison?
Bro, it was like a blue moon. Like it was like a lunar eclipse. Like how could
it was a social happening.
Yeah, right. Like it was an event. Like
this is an event town, baby. And the event is
on Whiteside. How crazy is it that Hassan's triple doubles were just as rare, if not less rare than when he would get 2 or more assists. Like, how crazy is that? Like,
honestly, if you had to bet, is Hassan going to get 4 assists or a triple-double? I would bet triple-double.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Like, if I had to bet, like, if that was a prop bet, I'd bet on the triple-double. So Kendrick got better at moving the ball, at the vision and the pick and roll. I thought that he is very tunnel vision in the beginning. He got a lot better at that. And I think that, you know, that stuff's going to be the natural progression. I think if he can improve on defense, that's going to help a lot. I think that judging his playoff performance is fair and unfair because of the COVID that he got, and he really never got to get in a rhythm. And I think with a proper training camp, it might have been different.
He said without the training camp, it took him 3 weeks before he can really get into some sort of a rhythm.
It sucks. It was tough. And like, I wasn't the biggest Kendrick Nunn fan at all. I wasn't. And I think that, you know, he makes bad decisions. I think that foul on the fast break in the Celtics series that caused me to say, I never want to watch this guy play with the Heat from ever again. He just does boneheaded shit sometimes.
Right? That's what got you. And it wasn't the fact that he kept taking that off the dribble 18 footer and hitting the front rim for like, he must've done it 20 times in the playoffs. Like
that was the most frustrating point of the playoffs.
Pacers game. But see, he just missed like 20 shots.
Like, especially in the Bucks series, you know, the Bucks are going to give you that cushion. And I think he has to take it. I think if he's out there, if he's not taking it, then what the fuck is he there for? Right? So, like, I wasn't mad that he was missing. I got mad when he would fucking frustration foul and give a Celtics an and one in a tight game. That shit bothered me. I fucking started screaming. I'm not a screamer when I watch sports. You know what I mean? I'm pretty chill. Kristen, you've watched games with me. You know what I mean? Like, unless I'm like trying to have fun, like I'm a pretty chill guy. I'm looking at numbers. I'm pulling up PBB stats. You know what I mean? I'm having a good time.
Confirming your biases.
All the time. And if it's not confirmed, I don't tweet it. That's the move. Sometimes I'm like, man, I've always wanted to see this lineup. Finally, this must be killing it. Check the stats. That's just like -50/100. Nope, never mind. I'll keep that to myself.
And it was brutal, man. He shot 39% from the field and 27% from three in the playoffs.
Those are Joe Johnson playoff numbers.
I mean, like, the thing with Kendrick, too, is that, let's go back to the best form that we saw of Kendrick. His best form is a guy preseason. You can count on to score and score efficiently. So if he's not making jumpers, like, I just don't see the point of him being on the court unless he can really improve his defense. And I think he showed some flashes for how bad his offense was, like in the bubble regular season and playoffs. He showed some decent flashes on the defensive end. So if he can improve there, he'll have a better shot of maintaining some minutes in the rotation.
Alex, I see you nodding.
Well, I mean, I agree, Christian. I do think he's going to be a better defensive player this year. I'm not judging him at all by what happened in the bubble. That was, you know, I'm putting that all on COVID. I saw enough in the regular season to believe that the bubble was more so just, you know, COVID related. So I do personally still hold out hope for Kendrick Nunn. I see where he can help us, especially early in the season when, you know, we're looking for guys to really carry the load while, you know, Jimmy and Goran and all these other guys kind of find their way back. And like I said at the top, more than anything, we got to get his trade value back up, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean because I am a kind of a Kendrick Nunn fan. I'll always root for the underdog, but more than anything, I want to make sure that we can get something good for him. So let's start him so he doesn't fall out of the rotation. And I do think that there is still room for growth there. Like, I think he's a serviceable point guard. And I think that he could be, you know, a really good offensive weapon for any team, including ours. But more than anything, let's just get that trade value up.
I would say, do you think Kendrick and Kelly Olynyk are like going to be like just trying to become like fast friends? Because you know that they're getting packaged somewhere together.
Oh, yeah. They should just start sitting next to each other on the plane like for the entire year. Just get used to that.
Like, they don't have to be like best friends, but just build some rapport if they haven't already. Because
like Kawhi and Danny Green.
Figure out which one's going to have the window, which one's going to have the aisle.
I think that's a slightly different situation, Gianni. But yes, it's more or less the same.
Sad Kawhi lost a friend. Danny Green and him lived in the same city their entire career. Because even though they went to different LA teams, they were in LA. Tough for Kawhi that Danny Green got traded. I mean, can't match. Kawhi has a lot of friends.
We need like a Tobias and Marjanovic connection.
What are you saying, Chris? As Brian interjected with Sixer talk.
Yeah, I love how Danny Green like went from like one of the most feared 3-point shooters to everybody joking about him constantly putting up bricks. But the funniest thing to me is that anytime somebody brings up Danny Green, the first thing that always comes up for me is him taking a selfie at the Holocaust Memorial.
Oh my god, that shit was so funny.
Because
it was the most inappropriate selfie I've ever seen in my life.
That was one of the most flagrantly wild things I had ever seen on the internet.
Doesn't he say like, you know, I had to take one or something like that?
It's like, you know, I had to do it or something like that.
Yeah, like it's like a meme. It's like,
you really don't have to, Danny. You really don't have to.
LOL. Google this picture. The graves in the background. Like,
he's like, he's taking a high angle selfie and he's making a weird face. It's like, Danny Green, what are you doing?
Like, that is some of the
I think he also did it at the 9/11 memorial.
Get out of here.
No, I think he did it again.
No way.
I think he did it again. I'm gonna double check. Danny Green. 9/11.
What a guy. Where is he now? He got traded, didn't he?
He's on the Sixers. He's on the Sixers? Oh, that's a good get for them.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I feel like the Sixers are going to be a problem.
Let me tell you, the Sixers got better.
Yeah, they did. They needed to put any shooters they could find on this planet that can actually shoot well and surround Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid with them.
Shout out Daryl Morey. He had a good offseason.
He did. He got Seth Curry. He got Danny Green. I think he drafted a shooter or something like that. Oh, no. They drafted Maxey, didn't they?
Yes.
Right after us.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays
out. So I have a Danny Green update. So he has apologized for the comments, and the caption was, you know, I had to do it one time, LOL. Hashtag Holocaust. Hashtag Holocaust. Like, it's just so, and I feel bad laughing. It's just so flagrantly inappropriate by Danny Green.
Oh, my God.
It's a weird thing for the greatest transition defender in the history of the NBA to do that. You remember when he would strip LeBron mid-flight?
Remember when he got blocked by Bosh?
You guys remember? Remember when Gianni called Roger Goodell Adam Gase?
Remember when Adam Gase was a Miami Dolphins coach?
No.
Listen, we haven't done a show since it's been a while. You know, we're getting our sea legs under us. I'm in on Kendrick, you know, hopefully being a better defender. I think that that's the next natural progression. I think that, you know, I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, Alex, to what you were saying. Like, I think the bubble was the worst version of Kendrick Nunn, right? Like, that's just how bad it could be, right? Because it was just all his warts at once, right? Which is an unfair way to look at somebody, but that's just the low end. That's as bad as it gets when his jumper's not falling and all his useless habits of being bad on defense and on his shitty decision making, all that stuff, right? Like, but he could also be a really good player like he was in the beginning of the season where he's hitting every jumper, he's getting to the rim, he's dunking, he's hitting threes, he's a really good spot-up shooter, right? It's like there's we've seen the two extremes of Kendrick Nunn when in reality it's somewhere in the middle. And I think that playing him is going to be tricky. He'll obviously get reps because it's going to be a weird season and guys are going to get hurt. And there's going to be COVID and blah, blah, blah. So
do you remember it's going when to be he weird, scored 50 have, points?
He scored 40 in a preseason game.
Wasn't that 50?
It's like a 50. It was almost 50. It was 40.
I was at that game.
It was against the Rockets, if I remember.
How many vodka tonics were you in?
I don't know. It's tequila, but yes.
Actually, I think it was against the Hawks because I think I was at that game as well.
38, I think, in that game. It was like, that was a game where, like,
I remember Chris and I went to a Heat Hawks game.
Duncan Robinson had like 10 threes. Jimmy Butler had a triple double, and Bam had like a double double of 30 points.
He did not have 50 points.
They don't have a preseason
long.
No, because it was in the preseason, I remember.
No, he had a 40-point game in the preseason. So, Kristen, I remember you and I were at a Heat Hawks game, and we were just really happy that the Heat had a guy who can create. We were like, you were several tequilas in, I was several gin and tonics in, and we were just like, wow, the Heat have a guy that can just go to the rim whenever he wants again. That's nice. And Jimmy Butler, it just feels nice.
Oh no, absolutely! Like you need it though. Like it's if you want to run any decent offense like these days, you gotta have somebody that's gonna collapse a defense.
So moving on to our last guard on the list. I mean, we have Vincent, and there's other players that we'll sprinkle in at the very end. But the last of the big guys is Goran Dragic, coming up, a Gogi Heat lifer, tried to play through the plantar fascia pop in the finals last season. If Goran doesn't get hurt, Heat are likely holding a trophy. There, I said it. And, you know, I think we've talked a little bit about him already. I think we're pretty sure it's going to be a bench role. And I honestly don't really see much changing for him. You know, I think we know what he does well. Offensive spark plug off the bench. You know, it can close games for you. It's an incredible shooter. Off the dribble, spot up, you know, good screener. Does everything on offense that you need. Just fucking beast getting to the rim. And I think in that Celtics series, you saw when shit went haywire, that guy was keeping you in games when nothing else was working. I think he's a guy that not only Jimmy trusts, but everybody in the organization and on the team trust. Just the leadership. I'll spill out on Goran forever, but I just think like he's just so fucking good offensively. And like, you know, he was playing out of his mind in the playoffs. But I think, you know, even in the regular season, you know, that guy coming off the bench, leading your second unit, getting some Bam in him. I think that a big thing with him is going to be getting him a lot more minutes with Bam so he can really work on that pick and roll, because that North-South game with Bam was just fucking fantastic in the playoffs. And I don't, he don't really have, you know, we're going to see what Precious is, but, you know, he don't really have another, you know, reliable role target for him on the bench. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, they have more kind of spread and spray shooters rather than pick and roll guys. So that's kind of the only thing, but I mean, I think it's going to be Christian business as usual for Goran.
I mean, I would freeze him in carbonite and break him out in the playoffs. But I'm dead serious. Like the Heat ceiling is directly tied to him, and it was proven last playoffs. He has a wide array of ways that he can attack a defense, and he's shown that with age, he's just getting better at getting to his spots and making things difficult. Like he does things where it's like, it doesn't matter. Even if you are playing good defense, he gets to where he wants to go. And he typically, you know, shoots at a very high percentage, especially when it comes to driving and getting to the rim, when it comes to getting those, you know, spot up looks, you know, when it comes to creating out of the pick and roll, especially he was really showing off his lob game last season. Like, do you remember when he first came to the Heat? There was so many complaints on Heat Twitter because he was not like Dwayne. He wasn't, you know, creating for the bigs like Dwayne was, you know, and that part of his
bounce
game,
pass for them. It was
yeah,
weird.
Exactly. And now he's developed an incredible floater that he was putting to work with Bam, with Derrick Jones. Like, you know, obviously he's going to, I guess this season, maybe we'll get some Precious lobs. I would love to see some Precious lobs with Goran, but he is what makes this team go, especially when you pair him with the team's two best players.
KZ lobs.
I would KZ lobs. Exactly. Like
Christian.
I would freeze him in carbonite. I've been playing a Star Wars game. I would freeze him.
So, you know, Goran's play, you know, This is strictly his numbers shooting from 2-point percentage. When he first got to the Heat, he shot 55% from two. Then his next season, he shot 52% from two. This is just strictly from 2-point range. So the floaters, the layups, all that stuff. And then the numbers are declining: 49%, 48%, 45%. Then last year, got back up to 50% from two. And that to me tells me what you're saying. The floater game has improved. His finishing around the rim has improved. He's found new life. He's found new youth. Part of that is playing off the bench, right? You're not playing against starters, and that's going to help your body. And we saw in the playoffs, he's very capable of doing that to starters. He's incredible. And I think that last season was legit a revival for him. Those numbers were declining, and they were declining sharply, as I just showed you. And the 3-point shooting was up as well, right? Almost a 37% off his career high attempts, 5.7, almost 6. You know what I mean? So you love to see that kind of development, and you can see the vision in his game and kind of how it's worked, and it really worked in the playoffs. They're going to have a lot to work with him. And I think that as long as he, you know, they manage his minutes correctly, which I think that Eric Spoelstra has done a magnificent job of, you know, he'll be ready for the postseason. And I mean, it's tough because we're not doctors and we're not going to see how the injury looks, right? But I mean, by all accounts, from what I understand, it's not supposed to be an injury that's going to really harm him long term.
No, yeah, it's an injury that just needed rest. And so he really should be fine.
I mean, you never know. Everybody's body reacts differently, and we're going to find out. Obviously, you know, he's getting older, so I mean, if the numbers decline a little bit, but I mean, I thought last season, Alex, you know, that he really tapped into something. You know, him as really their third guy, you know, sometimes even their second or first guy, like especially on offense. You know, the Heat last season, everything kind of went right for them. They got the right play from a lot of guys. Nobody really had an outlier performance, but everybody knew their role and everybody had their thing. We kind of, like Christian said, we know what their ceiling is when that guy is playing at an all-star level. You know, they have enough. It's just to see, like, can Goran replicate that? Because they didn't really add any, like, significant difference makers, especially for the playoffs and down the stretch. So it's if Goran can maintain that level that he had last season, and if Bam can take a leap, and if Tyler can take a leap, and if Jimmy can maintain his same level, maybe even get a little bit better as a shooter, they have some shit going.
Plus Duncan. Don't forget Duncan.
A breaking update. Apparently, what? Bam is sponsored by Pandora Jewelry. Hey. Look at that.
Good for Bam. For his mom.
Look at that.
Hey, just tweeted it. It's like a whole long commercial. Good for him. Yeah, no, I hope he's getting sponsorships.
Duncan got sponsored by some basketball company. Like an like a, let's see what it was. It looked interesting. It was like a high-tech basketball company.
It was he sponsored by Let It Fly?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that.
Mike Miller thing.
I know.
I get it. That's Mike Miller. Yeah, it's Mike Miller. No, he's sponsored.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
SIQ Basketball. They're debuting a new smart regulation that's size
right
basketball.
On brand for him.
So, Gianni, did we cover everybody?
I mean, unless you guys wanted to kind of get to the nuke. I know Alex wanted to talk a little bit about the nuke.
Alex just wants his pizza.
Yeah, I kind of do. It's like 6 minutes away. I'm tracking it.
Wait, who's the new kid?
Max Struss,
baby. Oh, Max Struss, correct, right.
It's going to be the hidden gem of this Heat season.
Actually, always find one.
I don't know anything, but I watched his YouTube video today, and I got really excited about
he's coming off a torn ACL, so let's see if he can even, like...
I'm less excited.
He played for Chicago like 2 games, barely played any minutes in those games. I don't think you can think he made it through in those games. And then he played a lot in the G League, and then he got hurt in the G League back in December, late December.
He looks like he kills.
He's been rehabbing since late December. So it's almost a year removed from that injury.
Sorry, Johnny. He looks like he kills what?
He kills it at LA does. Fitness.
I'm so glad that that's where you went with that.
What is this?
I have no idea what you were going to say.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.